Welcome to the world of Culture Pop with Steve Mason and Sue Kowinski. Culture.
Comedy, movies, TV, tech, authors, trends.
Pop.
This is the Culture Pop Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Pop Podcast. I'm Steve Mason along with Sue Kowinski. Sue Baloo, what's up?
I'm up.
Excellent.
I'm actually feeling up.
Excellent. That's good, especially during these difficult times. Well, excited about this show. Mark Prutschke is joining us. He is one of the stars of, I think, one of the most underratedly funny shows on TV, What We Do in the Shadows. It is the weirdest, funniest show, I think, maybe in the history of television in terms of the weirdness.
Yeah. It's probably what people thought of, like, the Munsters, you know, back in the day, you know?
Exactly. So we've got him coming up. And, you know, Sue, every show we thank our sponsor, the guy who pays for this whole show. It is my friend Jacob Imrani. Great dude. And at this point, Sue, I'm sure you've seen all Jacob's upside-down billboards all over town. Have you seen those?
I have.
The entire point of that campaign is that when you're involved in any kind of accident, your life literally gets turned upside down. Insurance companies out to shrink what they should be paying you. You're hurt. You're out of work. But just like one call to the billboard company can turn those boards right side up, one call to Jacob can do the same for you. You deserve peace of mind. That's why my friend Jacob is available to take your call 24/7. He will deal directly with the insurance company. He will help you get great doctors. He will make sure you get a car and are able to get back on the road 24 hours a day. Call Jacob, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB, 844-24-JACOB. Or remember the catchy jingle, Sue. You ready?
I'm ready.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani. Call Jacob. No clue what you're doing. No clue. Just no idea what that even was.
I'm trying to do some backup, like ba 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 ba.
Yeah, didn't pass muster. Didn't pass muster. So before we get to Mark, I wanted to make a confession. Sue, everybody talks about the quarantine 15. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's the freshman 15 when you go to college and you pick up 15 pounds in your freshman year because you ate a bunch of pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the quarantine 15 for me became officially on Monday, the quarantine 20. I have gained 20 pounds during this quarantine in, what is it, 4.5 months?
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe you gained 15 pounds since I saw you a couple of weeks ago. Because you looked a little bit heavier, but not by that much.
Yeah, 20 pounds. So I'm officially on it. I got on the scale Monday, and I weighed 215, so I got to get back to 195, which is where I started this sucker. And who knows when we're going back to the office, right? I have no idea. So I've got plenty of time to figure out a way to cut this weight, but I was shocked. And you know what's doing it? Donuts. Donuts are what is doing it.
Seriously?
Yeah, I ordered donuts for delivery from DK's Donuts in Santa Monica. and I get the vanilla cream donuts. I love that vanilla cream icing. And here's how bad it is. I get 3 of those donuts. Juan gets 3 of those donuts. And we get a side of vanilla cream.
Oh, my gosh.
So you take the donut that is filled with cream and you dip it in cream.
I'm shocked it's only 20 pounds.
Isn't that just sick?
That is really sick. You know, my husband always brings home desserts. I will, not as much as he does. And then I'll yell at him when he brings things home.
Yep.
And then it's okay when I do. And he looks at me. He's like, well, you bring stuff home too. But he'll always like frame it. Like, I bought you a present. I bought you a surprise. And it's like, no, it's for you, you idiot.
Yeah, at our house, it's like the donuts show up and I'll say, I knew you wanted them.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
I knew you wanted them. That's why I ordered them. Yeah, I did it for you.
I know. He like dessert gaslights me.
It's a dessert gaslight. That's awesome. My goal now is to cut, and I'm at 210 already. So I'm cutting weight quickly. I anticipate I'll be back at my fighting weight by the time I get back to the office, whenever the hell that is.
Now, do you have any idea how you're going to embark on this weight loss?
I'm just going to not eat donuts anymore. I think that's the biggest
that's a good
thing.
Start.
I'm just going to cut the side of cream, maybe. I'm going to cut out all the sweets. That's what I got to do. Right. I know how I gained it, so I know how I'll lose it. I'll be okay. Don't worry about me, Sue.
No, I'm not.
Next time you see me in person, you'll be amazed. So our guest today has had recurring roles on both The Office and Better Call Saul. Now he's on one of my favorite TV shows of the moment, What We Do in the Shadows on FX. Our guest is Mark Pritchk, who plays Colin Robinson, the energy vampire, and he joins us now.
Oh, I'm so happy that you guys included me.
So, huge fan of What We Do in the Shadows. Both me and Sue Kalinske, who's here, both love the show.
Nice.
But we went back and looked at your, I don't know if it's your original character or the character you started with, but K-Strass, who is the yo-yo master, is some of the funniest stuff I've seen in a really long time.
Welcome back to Good Morning Four States. It is finally Friday morning. K-Strass is back with us again from Zip Zap. We thank you for joining us this morning. You've got your hands full of yo-yos right now. You got to what, 4 yo-yos per hand, right?
Right. And what I do is, it's called the Blue Flying Angel.
Okay. Do I need to get out of the way for this?
Yes, you do. You know, what we do, or I'll do, is the kids, I'll get into the room and the kids will be running around and they'll be all excited. And so I try to start things off on their level and try to hook them with something like a rap.
Okay.
So it's, and it's kind of clever because it includes me.
Okay.
And it goes, hey, they're up in the sky. It's the K-Strass, the yo-yo guy. And then I do the boo da da ba 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 da da skee da dee dee da ba ba doo 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 yo yo yo. You know, and I get them going and I get them into it.
Okay.
And so once I do that, they are ready to learn.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was that was my first.
Yeah, how did you come up with that?
My good friend Joe Pickett and I came up with this character or the idea. And you know, at the time we were just both living in Milwaukee, not really doing too much. And I had always kind of done this dumb guy character for my friends when we'd be out in public. Very obnoxious, I'm sure. But one day we just had the idea, how about we put that dumb guy on morning news shows and see if we can get on. And so we came up with, you know, the idea behind it, that this yo-yoist is coming to area schools to teach kids about the environment, which makes no sense. And that was kind of all the TV producers needed to okay me to come on to the show. And make a total fool of myself. So
the funniest thing is that, well, you talk about dumb morning shows. Like, I don't know how much vetting that they do to find out, like, who you really are. Now, did they actually find out later that this was just a spoof and they got punked? And did they, like, contact you? Like, were they pissed off?
Yeah, they would find out later, inevitably. But they never, you know, we got one email, that's it, from a producer that was angry with us. And it was more, you know, it wasn't like incredibly angry or anything. It was just more of, you know, yeah, you got us. Great job. Thanks for wasting our time. And, you know, I want to say, well, thank you for wasting so much of my time with some of the content that you guys claim to be news and is just paid advertisements. But
hey, I just want to point out that I was formerly the regular fill-in host for Good Day LA. So I've been in the chair, the anchor chair. I've been that guy for the demonstration before. And I know that's one of your criticisms is, That's just not even news what they're showing on those local morning shows, right?
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't so much a takedown of morning news. Obviously, you know, I have friends in morning news, and it was more of just commentary, I guess, in that, you know, people watch these shows thinking that, oh, this is news. And they're not always forthcoming with, like, Good Day LA and Good Day Live. Some of those shows you have to pay to get on. And that's not necessarily, you know, transparent when you're watching these morning shows. You think that they're actually bringing you relevant community interest stories or what have you, when in fact, the people that are trying to get on are paying in order to shill their products. So, you know, it was all in good fun. And, you know, we certainly weren't trying to change anything in that world. It's going to be what it's going to be. But it was, we were both media majors in college. So it was something that we knew quite well how that world worked before we even got to Hollywood. So
you had never done improv, or had you done improv comedy before starting your career as K-Strauss?
No, I never did improv. I never did, local theater or anything. I didn't have any theater background at all. Which I think, some people can take note of that. You know, you don't necessarily need to go the theater route or the improv training route, you know, in order to have a semi-successful career in this business. Sometimes I think that it's helped me more than hurt me, not having those backgrounds.
So, like, back in the day when you had to send maybe a reel of your work, was this something that you would include in that?
Yeah. It was kind of my calling card for the first couple years out here. I never thought that it would lead to anything. I was just doing it to entertain my friends. I never in a million years thought it would lead to what I'm doing right now, you know.
So how did it go viral?
People started posting it online on YouTube, and which, you know, initially really pissed me off, because the idea was we wanted to film like 11 or 12 of these, and if you were to watch them all in a row, you would get a couple story arcs about this guy's life told through these morning show appearances. But that obviously didn't work. People started posting them online, and Grantland actually picked it up and wrote a story on it, and that's how it blew up. And then the writers of The Office were watching it during their lunch breaks and really liked it a lot and thought it was really funny, and flew us out to meet them from Milwaukee to LA and had a good meeting, and I was on the show about a month later.
Yeah, it really feels like a kind of like a goofy Ali G type of sketch, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, we were huge fans of Sacha Baron Cohen and Steve Coogan and any of those folks that really play on the public.
And your character, you as an actor, I should say, you fit so well in those roles, in the role in The Office, and then the role as Price in Better Call Saul. They're kind of variations of that guy from the morning news, right?
Yeah, to some extent. You know, I like playing the oddball. That's something that I'm interested in, and I've always been interested in that. I don't know why, even as a child, I would gravitate to kind of these eccentric weirdos, basically. And that never really has stopped. I've always been interested in that. I'm far more interested in the eccentric, you know, small town people than I am in celebrity or anything like that. And so, you know, I guess that's where I put my 10,000 hours into. Once I started acting, I had a pretty good knowledge base of these people. And Yeah, to some extent, it's, you know, it's a variation on that character. But also, I guess you could just say it that I play oddballs.
Right.
So how did you get the role on The Office?
It was through that initial meeting when I flew out to L.A. To meet the writers of The Office. For whatever reason, I didn't turn them off to me. And so they took a chance, which, you know, I really do thank Paul Lieberstein, who played Toby on The Office. He was the showrunner at the time and was really running everything. And he took a chance on me, you know, this person with no acting background at all from Wisconsin, and gave me a shot. And, you know, if it hadn't been for him and the other writers and producers, I'd still be back in Wisconsin sitting on the couch goofing around.
So Better Call Saul is a show that I absolutely love. I love Breaking Bad. I love Better Call Saul. I love this sort of Breaking Bad universe. Had you watched Breaking Bad? Were you watching Better Call Saul when you got cast on the show?
Yeah. I was a huge Breaking Bad fan, like everyone else. I mean, it's become almost cliche to say that at this point. And I was actually writing with Bob Odenkirk. We were writing a pilot together when he started getting, you know, some talk about Better Call Saul and whether they were going to pursue, you know, creating that show. And it was really interesting to be with him while he's, you know, in the middle of trying to figure out whether or not he should do the show, if it would be a good show. And I think we can all thank God that he did decide to do it. And it's such a brilliant, brilliant show. So I was really lucky to have gotten on that one too.
By the way, your role on Better Call Saul, the scenes are mostly with Mike, played by Jonathan Banks. And he, for me, is one of the best actors out there right now. He's so still and he's so settled, and he's dealing with you in such a calm way, sort of letting you do your thing while he kind of maintains that stillness, that calmness.
I wonder how this is supposed to work. I mean, who goes first? You know, do I hand over the pills first, or do they give me the money and then I hand over the pills? I mean, I guess it makes sense if we just exchanged at the same time, right? I mean, that's fair. I mean, just count to three.
Probably the less talk, the better.
What was it like working with him in those scenes?
You know, Jonathan's, he plays such a gruff character, but he's really just a pussycat. I mean, he's somebody that I watched when I was younger. I used to watch the TV show Wise Guy.
Sure.
And he played a completely different character in Wise Guy. And if you go back and watch that, you'll see the range that this guy has. And so the first time that I was acting with him was in the parking structure. And I remember I flubbed my first line, and it was because I was consciously thinking, I am talking right now to Mike from Breaking Bad. And it was just very weird to me to be in that situation that first time. After that, I calmed down. And, you know, he's so smart and very, very kind. And is just, he's one of those people that after shooting invites you to go get a drink with him on the first or second day you're on set, you know, and not a lot of actors do that, are that welcoming, because, you know, I was a guest star. You come in and you do your time and you go, and that's all you should expect. And, you know, everyone's very nice usually, but to be asked to come out and then befriend someone that you admire so much and for so long was really special.
You did, I don't know if it was a sketch, an ongoing sketch, or a web series, this thing called On Cinema. Where did that come from?
Yeah, On Cinema is, it's, I mean, it's lived in so many different variations. It's been, you know, a podcast, a web series, and on Adult Swim on TV. On Cinema was created by my good friends Greg Turkington and Tim Heidecker, and it's a spoof or a takeoff on movie review shows. And instead of just, you know, kind of parodying a movie review show, we've kind of built out this entire universe. And so it's a really detailed and intricate long bit. And if you like comedy that has a little bit more depth to it and layers, then I highly recommend watching that. I don't recommend a lot of my stuff, but that's something that I do recommend because it's, you know, it's 12 minutes per episode. It's fun, it's goofy, and it rewards you after a while once you invest into it.
And how long did you work on your W.C. Fields impression?
About 12 to 15 seconds before I went on air with it. So
W.C. Fields, ask him too.
I don't think he was ever nominated or won Best Actor back in the 1930s.
Is that true? Have you ever won an Academy Award?
I have never even been nominated. Mm. It was a true tragedy. I would have enjoyed it a lot, though.
Or a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Nope, not that either.
Okay, well,
if you want to, do you do a Jim Carrey impression?
That I do. He's one of my favorite young moon cows. My impression would be like this. All righty then. Smoking.
Some funny stuff, man.
The thing that is so brilliant about that On Cinema is that personal background stories of the two guys and everybody who comes on the show. Because, you know, sometimes when you're watching these shows, you know, it is kind of boring. And, you know, this world that was created, it was just so out there and so ridiculous. I mean, you guys took it so far. You're like coming back for like, for, you know, the next season, and the guy's got like the bandage on his head after he had surgery. I mean, you guys like totally didn't miss a trick in the comedy department.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that's always, I we film most of it in a day. And it's just, it's such a fun day. I mean, the ridiculous stuff, and you know, it's not really scripted. The big beats are scripted, like Tim burning his entire body and stuff like that, or me going into a coma. Those are scripted, but everything that we're saying isn't scripted. So it's really fun, and we break a lot. That's one of the few shows that, you know, I can easily be broken during a scene.
So I have recommended What We Do in the Shadows on my radio show. I'm on the radio all week long. And I always, somebody will say, okay, what's it about? And it's very tricky to describe. How would you describe What We Do in the Shadows?
It is tricky because the genre of vampires, people, you know, it doesn't sound like you can do very much with that. And so I kind of describe it as The Office, but with vampires, just because the tone of the comedy is similar to The Office. And at its heart, it's a roommate comedy. I mean, it's a roommate sitcom. And the inhabitants of that house just happen to be vampires. And it's, you know, I think we need some goofiness right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I go on and the Munsters came out of the Cold War. You know, people were terrified of a nuclear attack and nuclear war. And they wanted something that scares them that they could just laugh at and make fun of. And that's where you get the Addams Family and the Munsters, you know, these traditionally horror type characters that are just turned on their heads so you can laugh at them. You have control. And I mean, to some extent, that's what we've done here. I mean, it's, these vampires are very dangerous and and can kill you, but they're incredibly inept morons and silly. And they really couldn't plan anything to hurt a fly.
It's time to name that tune.
Guillermo, get him out of here.
Guillermo, close the door.
The door's closed, Master.
Close it more.
It looks like I'm flying, Master.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! I'm a vampire!
You're not, though.
So.
Yeah, it's just, I love the, you know, your character, you know, kind of like the Marilyn character to a certain extent from the Munsters. You know, you're somewhat of a normal a guy, but
yeah.
but you do have powers, you know, which is you know, kind of the fun kind of flip with you.
Yeah, the boring office guy that can literally drain the life out of you. which, you know, before I got to L.A., I mostly temped. I did a lot of temp work in offices. And so I do draw on some of the people in those offices at times in my improv with things that they would say or quirks that they had. And I think a lot of people that watch the show, my character, Colin Robinson, is the in for them, the normal part of that universe that they can relate to. Because, you know, so many people work in offices, and it's something that I think they can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, Nandor, Nadia, and Laszlo are straight up vampires, right? But Colin Robinson, and I love the fact that it's always the full name, Colin Robinson, is that guy in the office that we all know with the bad small talk and the guy who sends one too many emails, or he's literally sucking the energy out of the people around him. And one of my favorite episodes this year in season two was where you become the boss of the company that you don't even know what they do necessarily, but you're all of a sudden the boss. That was kind of like your bright, shining episode this year.
Yeah, it's a very Kafka-esque episode that he doesn't even know what they do, yet he keeps getting promoted. Kind of reminds you of Hollywood to some extent.
But also what's kind of funny about it is that it kind of mirrors the boneheads in your house. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And to their detriment, really, that I've grown so powerful. And it is a fun episode. And, you know, you get to see a little bit of sadness in Colin Robinson in that episode, which doesn't come out too often. All he wants to do is be friends with, you know, his roommates. But in order to do that, or when he's trying to be friendly to them, he's also sucking the energy out of them. And so it's a paradox for him. But yeah, it's, you know, it's such a great character. And Jermaine Clement, who directed that episode and directed one of my episodes last season, is always really fun to work with, in that he allows you to really go off the script and improvise. And, that's something that really attracted me to the role in the first place, is knowing that I'll be able to improvise quite a bit. Though often I dial it back because the writing is so good.
Now, you also work with Taika Waititi on the show, who did Jojo Rabbit, and he's such a brilliant filmmaker. What's your interaction with him like?
Taika's great. Taika is just an incredibly fun person to work with. He didn't really do much season two. Obviously he's busy with huge, incredible blockbusters and brilliant art house films that he does on his own. But Taika is, you know, one of the great moments that I had early on was my first scene with Taika directing. He was in tears laughing. And if that doesn't give you a boost of confidence, yeah, I don't know what will.
Wow.
So there was a dramatic ending for season two with Guillermo, Harvey Guillen, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, with Guillermo becoming sort of the vampire slayer. Did you see that coming? How early do you get the scripts in this process?
We get the scripts at the table read. So we're not privy to any information before the table read, which is usually 2 to 3 days before we start filming that episode. So it's very short notice for us. Yeah, we were told a little bit that this season was going to follow the vampire hunting storyline. But, you know, to what extent, we really weren't told beforehand.
Yeah, it was a great finish to season two. And season three, there's already going to be a season three, right?
Yes. When we film it is to be determined yet. I mean, it's obviously not the best time in the world. So it's hard. You know, we're trying to figure it out. But
are you based in L.A.?
I am, yeah. Yeah.
And how are you holding up during this pandemic and this quarantine?
Probably the same as everyone. You know, it's not fun. But you know, it's when we have challenges like this, it's not meant to be fun. It's meant to be something that helps us work together and try to get through something that's very hard. And unfortunately, it's become political, and it's a virus. It's not it's not a campaign.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. One of the things that comes through in every one of your characters is that quirkiness, that oddball, but there's also kind of a sweetness to all the characters that you play. Talk about sort of coming up with that flavor, that texture in your performances.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always been attracted to comedy that has a little bit of depth to it, I guess. You know, I'm not a big sketch comedy fan, and the reason is because you don't have any depth to the characters. Usually, they're just, you know, these very two-dimensional characters that say and do funny things, but it never really hits me in a way that makes me laugh really hard or appreciate what they're doing. And so for me, comedy, and that's, I think, where, you know, Tim Heidecker and Greg Turkington and some other, you know, Zach Woods is another person that really pulls it off well, which is comedy in a way that is, you also believe that person could be real.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I'm doing any of these characters, I try to make them also sympathetic to some extent. Even if it's just a glance once in a while. And the reason is because I think that if people also feel kind of bad for this person, that when they do something funny, it's heightened. Mm-hmm. It's more of a pressure valve. It's a release for them. Now that all may be BS, and I may be just being actorly right now.
Well, you're an actor; you're allowed to talk some BS.
Yeah, but I always roll my eyes at such talk. But anyway, that's kind of how I approach it, is to give the character a little depth. You know, I was always a bigger fan of SCTV than I was of Saturday Night Live.
Interesting, yeah.
And TV, they could built out these characters.
Yeah, and I, you know, as a viewer a big fan of actors, I really appreciate that when I see that, because, you know, I came from the world of stand-up, and, you know, even when I watch stand-ups, you know, the stand-ups who are giving us a little more about themselves than just going up there and telling jokes, to me, is much more engaging.
Totally.
Because you get to know who they are.
Exactly. And I, you know, I think it's an important lesson for, you know, actors that are going into comedy, which is, you know, it's one thing to be funny, and that's great, but you should also be able to pull off, you know, a well-rounded comedic character. I think Will Ferrell is good at that. You know, I've always enjoyed his work. He's he's funny and goofy, but you also can feel kind of bad for him at times. And I think that adds a lot to his performance.
It's funny that you bring that up because Steve and I just interviewed Andrew Steele from the Eurovision film.
Oh, yeah.
And we referenced that about Will and his, you know, and a lot of his work with Adam McKay. Those are the kinds of characters that they've created. It's like comedy, but there's a lot of poignancy there as well.
Yeah, it's not insulting to the viewer. You know, it lets the viewer, you know, you're I guess in a way you're conveying to the viewer that you're not, you understand that comedy is more than just set up gag. And I think to some extent that's why some of the, you know, half hour multicam sitcoms aren't working as well right now. That's not to say they won't in the future, but right now, because there's, you know, there's so much depth and thought-provoking stuff that's going on in the world right now that the traditional set up gag, it just doesn't ring true right now to a lot of viewers. They prefer a show that has a little more, you know, nuance or depth to it. And I think as TV writers and creators, we should reward that as much as possible and work towards that.
Well, depth and really, really interesting characters and a great performance by you as Colin Robinson. The show is What We Do in the Shadows. Season 2 is available now on FX. There will be a season 3, which is exciting. And if you're looking for something, if you're looking for some laughs today, go to YouTube, check out Kay Strass, the Yo-Yo Master, and also check out the show On Cinema, where there is a wicked W.C. Fields impression. There's a really good Charlie Chaplin impression. It is really, really fun stuff. And we appreciate you doing this a lot, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Stay safe.
There you have it. Colin Robinson, Mark Prutsch, joining us on the show. He is just a really fascinating, fun guy to watch. If you go back and you watch the clips, and we played some of them during the interview, he's just, there is a sort of woundedness, a sweetness, a goofiness, an oddballness about him that I think makes the whole thing work.
You know, it's funny. I listened to a couple of interviews that he did before we did the podcast, and he was saying that he auditioned for Fargo. I believe it was the first season. And after the audition, you know, he thought it was, you know, it went pretty well. The casting director said, yeah, you know, it's good, but maybe you should back off a little bit on the accent. Like, they thought he was overdoing it.
Right.
For the part. And he was like, oh, okay, it's basically me, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, and, he's got a Milwaukee accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really cool guy. Really fun. And What We Do in the Shadows, I mean, we've said it before on this show, but What We Do in the Shadows is such a weird, and for you, it must be weird because it's a reality show about vampires and you spent so much of your career editing reality shows.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems to me that it's in some ways it was such perfect timing because there were so many vampire shows, yep. Like scripted vampire shows, that I wouldn't be surprised if they do a reality show with zombies now.
Sure. Why not?
You know,
why not?
So,
you know what this podcast gets me in the mood for, Sue?
A donut and some side of cream.
Donut and a side of cream sounds absolutely perfect to wrap up a perfect podcast. Sue, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
And we will see everybody next time.
Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We'll see you next week for an all-new episode of Culture Pop.